your Bible and turn to John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20. Once you find John chapter 20, I want you to turn to verse number 19. John chapter 20, we're going to look at verse number 19. John 20, verse 19, and you can stand with us if you will, please. John chapter 20, verse number 19. I'm going to read all the way through verse number 26. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. John chapter 20, verse 19. It says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. When they had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Look back at me, if you will. Earlier in this chapter, the resurrection had taken place, and Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, and then the day passed, and the disciples had gotten together for church. They had shut the door out of fear of persecution, but they had assembled for church that night. And guess who came to church? Jesus. Why? It was his custom. It was his custom. Ask the Lord to speak to your heart tonight. Some of you need to add a new dimension to your Christianity. Let's pray. Father, bless us now. Thy presence is so necessary. God, you wrote a book. I remember when I was 16 and you laid your hand upon my life and asked me to preach that book. I remember my fear, Lord, that people wouldn't listen to me. Oh, Father, I don't have anything to offer, but you have everything to offer. May I be used as a mouthpiece. All we want is that the Scripture would be taught and preached in such a way that you, number one, would be pleased, and we, number two, would be moved, challenged, changed, that we might grow. Hide me behind the cross. Help everyone to know that as we teach the younger Christians the truth of the Scripture, that all of us will be reminded of the great importance of church. Bless with thy presence in a supernatural way, please. Limit the disturbances. Control my mind and thinking so it's in submission to your plan for this sermon, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat there. The passage of Scripture that we just read, it was the first day of the week. And so, you know, when you think of the first day of the week, you usually think of Monday because that's when work starts. But the first day of the week in the Bible was Sunday. It was the first day of the week. Jesus had been crucified. He had resurrected. It was the first day of the week. And we remember that morning that, and we call it Easter or Resurrection Sunday. But by evening time, things had settled down a little bit and the disciples had again did what they always did. They had met, they had to close the door because they were being persecuted, but they had met for church. The Bible says that Jesus showed up. Now, there's somebody that didn't show up, though. His name was Thomas. Thomas stayed home to watch TV that night. I don't know what happened to Thomas, but they were having church at the New Testament Church of Jerusalem that night. The disciples and the people were there. Jesus showed up, and I'm sure, can you imagine all the people that didn't show up for church that night? And then Jesus came. Oh boy, that'd be a bummer. But the Bible says that Thomas didn't show up, and you've heard the story. We'll talk about it a little bit more. But we know that Thomas didn't show up, and when the other people said, guess who was at church tonight? And Thomas said, who? They said, Jesus. He said, I doubt it. That's what he said, right? He said, I doubt it. But Jesus had been there. We won't take the time to turn to it, but if you were ever to want to read in Acts chapter 20, verse number 7, this is about the Apostle Paul, and he was conducting a church service. It says this, and upon the first day of the week. Now, what is scripturally the first day of the week? Sunday. It says, and upon the first day of the week, it says, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued in his preaching until midnight. So, the disciples had church at night on Sunday. Paul had church at night on Sunday. And you all sometimes think I'm long-winded. The Bible says here that Paul started preaching that night, and they didn't get finished till midnight. And so you all know they started their services before it got dark, which probably meant there was church from 6 to midnight. That's 6 hours. So the next time it's about, 12:10 on a Sunday morning and you're doing this with your watch trying to let me know it's time for us to go to Golden Corral, preacher, just realize the Apostle Paul was a pretty long-winded old bird too. It got so bad, there was a guy that was in a loft like their balcony. He fell asleep during the preaching and fell out of the loft and died. Now you all can thank God it's only 6 inches from the pew to the floor. Because when you fall asleep, all you're going to do is bang your forehead on the pew in front of you. In John chapter 20, verse number 19, if you took the time to read it, that is that story that we read where Jesus showed up. The Bible said that the disciples, they assembled. The word assemble, and I never do this much, but much of the Bible was written in Hebrew and Greek. We don't have to have those things. God gave us the English Bible, but that word assemble is a Greek word, ekklesia. The Greek word assemble or ekklesia means church. They were churching. They had church that night. So the night of the resurrection, the disciples got together and had church as normal. And to put a stamp of approval on it, Jesus said, I'm going to show up. It happened in Acts chapter 20. It happened in John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, verse 24, if you'll remember that Jesus showed up for that night church service on that Sunday night, and then Thomas didn't show. Thomas should have been there. And really, Thomas missed a lot. And what I'm going to do is now in a more practical way, and I could do more Bible study with you about night church, but if you're that young Christian that said to me, preacher, why do we have church on Sunday night? Why do we do that? It's because it's in the Bible, and that's how they did it in the New Testament church in Jerusalem. They had Sunday morning church, and they had Sunday night church. And so, and I'll say this, and I don't want to make you mad at me, though I probably will anyway. If you say, well, if ever I make it at night, that's just a tip for God, because, I was there Sunday morning. The Bible teaches both. We're supposed to be at both. But Thomas didn't show up, and there's some things that Thomas missed. What in the world do you miss? And let me say to everybody here, boy, I understand illness. I think we're a little bit of a soft generation. I think we can get a little bit sick and want to stay home. We're looking for an excuse not to be in church. But I understand illness. When someone's not well, they can't be at all church services. And look, if you're bleeding profusely, I really don't want you to come in here and bleed all over the church. And, if you've got Ebola, stay home. But boy, today it's almost the kind of thing where I think by 10 I should have a headache. So I won't be able to be at church this morning. I understand when you get a little older, it's a little harder to see and drive when it's dark. And when you're blonde, it's hard to see and drive when it's dark. I understand when you're forced to work, when your boss makes you work. I think I would recommend that everybody try to get jobs that would help you to be faithful to church. I understand all that. But I do want to tell you, I want to show you what Thomas missed when he didn't show up to church that Sunday night. And so this is what any of us would miss by not showing up on Sunday night. And just in case you think, many years ago, someone established this church and set up a Sunday night church service, and you thought, well, that's just something that, they chose to do. No, they did that scripturally. They did it scripturally. And there are some people that don't understand. It's what the Bible teaches. So, you know, it's not Sunday morning services and everything else is just a big add-on that some man came up with. No, it's in the Bible. But I want to show you what Thomas missed by missing church. And so, you know, you could apply this to any church service that you miss. Any church service that is missed. What did Thomas miss, though? Well, let's start out. Number one, Thomas missed the presence of Jesus Christ by not showing up that Sunday night. In John chapter 20, verse number 19, it says, "Then came Jesus and stood in the midst." Jesus came to the evening service. I have to tell you something. When you miss the evening service, you're missing a piece of Jesus that he wanted you to be a part of. You say, "But it's so difficult." Let me show you something. I use a lot of humor, and we all laugh at some of the things I say, but I know they pierce you pretty deeply sometimes. But I have to tell you, you say, "Oh, it's so hard to get there." What do you think Jesus went through that day? He was dead. He had to get up out of the grave to make it to night church. "Oh, I feel so bad. I can't be there. My ingrown toenail." We live in a pretty wimpy, whiny, baby, tail between your legs, cry around, mama's boy kind of a society. I didn't mean to say all that. I don't know where some of that stuff comes from. I plan to be nice and make you laugh, and the next thing you know, I'm swinging an axe. Jesus had to be resurrected from the dead to make it. If you check history, you are going to find not only did the greatest, which were the disciples in the New Testament Church of Jerusalem, including Jesus Christ, have evening services, but you check history and you'll find out that Charles Haddon Spurgeon, J. Frank Norris, Dr. John R. Rice, Lee Robertson, Dr. Jack Hiles, you check history at the great church builders of history. They had night church. Why? Because it started in the New Testament church in Jerusalem. You say, why? Because it was another time when the people could get together and meet around the Word of God and Jesus could show up. You miss something when you miss night church. Okay, this last Wednesday night when we had church, you missed somebody getting saved. We had an adult man leave his seat, sitting right back there, walk down the aisle, get on his knees, and trust Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. You missed that. Let me ask you. When someone says, "Well, why should I come to church at night?" To be with Jesus. Amen. What's more important than that? You want to raise your hand and tell me? Listen, Thomas missed the presence of Jesus Christ. Number two, Thomas missed the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I'll show you. John chapter 20, verse 22, if you have your Bible open, you can look at it. I'm taking you through some of these scriptures. I'm just showing you what took place. In John 20, 22, it says, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Oh, wow. First of all, they missed Jesus being there. And do you know that Jesus showed up at that church service and he breathed on them and the Spirit of God did a supernatural work at night. Sunday night at church. You know, listen. I've never wanted to personally miss the moving of the Holy Spirit in my church. Never. We believe and we all want the Spirit of God to move in our midst. Did you know that He doesn't only move Sunday morning at 11? He moves Sunday night. Teenagers, He moves it at Youth Ablaze. He moves at King's Kids. He moves at choir practice, I believe. Be there. 5:30 tonight, choir. Just a little commercial. I never wanted to miss the moving of the Spirit of God. I wanted my wife not to miss it. God knows she needs it more than me. No, I didn't want Mrs. Owens to miss it. I wanted her to be where the Spirit of God was moving. And according to this, in a supernatural way, at night church, the Spirit of God came and did a work. I didn't want my kids to miss it. My kids would tell you, they grew up, and you had to be pretty bad sick, real bad sick, to not go to church. And they watched Dad never make excuse. And they knew it was going to be a rough road to convince Dad anybody was bad enough that they couldn't show up. Now, I think sometimes people are. But my kids will tell you, you didn't want to debate with my dad the thing of faithfulness. It is way too quiet in here. I'm feeling really all alone. Wow, you know what? To have been there when the Holy Spirit came. I mean, to me, what an honor. When Thomas did not show up that Sunday night, and you know what I think he thought he was getting away with murder. I mean, Thomas doesn't show up, and I'm sure he was thinking this. Jesus in the grave, he's been buried for days. What's the big deal? Peter, somebody gonna stand up here and preach? What's the big deal? And then Jesus showed up, and the power of God breathed on them by Jesus Christ Himself. Can you know the people coming out of church that night? Don't you think they come out and say, "Whoa, wow!" Thomas said, "So what are you guys making a big deal about? Jesus was here. I doubt it." Well, no wonder he was doubting it. He missed it. Anybody that day that didn't show up at night church missed the power of God coming upon that church in a powerful way. The Holy Spirit, I happen to believe this, so you know, I think the Holy Spirit moves twice as much at night in our church than He does in the day.
Amen.
You say, how do you prove that? It's easy. We have Sunday night church and Wednesday night church. We meet two times at night, one time during the day. Even if the power at night was equal to the power of the day, you've got twice as much at night. You want the power of God in your life? Some of you want to learn how to overcome your habits? Stop getting one third of the power. This is what the Scripture teaches. In Matthew chapter 14, verse number 23, get this. It was the evening that Peter walked on the water to Jesus. You trace that, you'll find out something special had happened at church that night. Some of you say, "I'd like to have victory in my life." Peter learned how to walk on the water at night church. I really, in all honesty, from the bottom of my heart, I love you and I'm your friend. If we never see you ever on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night, or as you're as unfaithful as you can be, I love you. I'm your friend. I want you to come to church, whatever, you'll come. But I will tell you this. Most people that have issues in their life that need to be overcome, they never truly overcome them until they start showing up at all the church services to get all the spiritual fuel they need to overcome. People say, "I really like to see my marriage be in better shape. Maybe you ought to come a little more often so you can get more of what makes a marriage work." "Say, my finances are a mess. Maybe you ought to come a little more often where all the teaching is being given out for you to succeed." So you all know, some of you don't know me very well, but I want you to understand something. I don't pick out a sermon from the Bible just to get it over with. I don't stand up here and try to give you a bunch of facts from the Bible so that we can all just go home and I earn my paycheck and you spent your social moment down at the church. I don't do it that way. I preach things that will change our lives to make us successful in our everyday walk with God. I get criticized because I am so practical and down to earth, which doesn't bother me a bit. Jesus used illustrations of lost boys and coins and sheep and bread. I'm not bothered that if my teaching seems a little simplistic to some, but you'll walk away with your lunchbox full of something that you can go home and live. And I wonder sometimes if people really don't want that. I wonder if they'd rather it be some highfalutin theological exegesis of the Old Testament scripture that impresses everybody with all these words, but you don't have to go live it. But really, what we're supposed to do is teach it so you can live it, so it changes your life. And if you'd really like to have your life change and have victory and success in life and really be used of God, then you need to come around often enough to get the teaching. Thomas missed the presence of Jesus. Thomas missed the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Thomas missed seeing some things that the others got to see. You say, like what? The nails. The nail prints in his hands and feet. I would have loved to have been there. Can you imagine they crucified him and he had, in the Old Testament, it had been prophesied that in 3 days, up from the grave, he would arise. And he said, you can tear down this temple, but in 3 days, I'm going to rise it up again. And they said, you're a crazy man. We're going to put you in the grave. And the next thing you know, 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. He shows up at church and says, let me show you. See us? I hope there's not anything bad on the bottom of my shoe. Everybody there said, wow, did you see what we saw last night at church? I saw a nail prints in a resurrected Savior's hands. I seen his feet. I seen the nails go through him and he wasn't dead. He was alive. What did you do last night? We stayed home and watched 2020. See, and just so you all know, God is still working in His New Testament church, and God's still doing something at night. It says, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They not only got to see Jesus, they got to see the Holy Spirit come in supernatural power. They got to see the nail prints in His hands and in His feet. You're going to miss it. Don't miss what God's doing in your church. I felt bad for the people that missed. Okay, it was in a night service where we got to honor Brother and Mrs. Kroon for their many, many years of dedication and hard work here. There are people that missed that. I feel bad for them. I feel bad for them. Here's something I want you to understand. And remember, a very young Christian in our church asked me, preacher, why do we have night church? I'm answering their question today. Like I said, the mature Christians in the house, you already know this and you've accepted it and you're obedient to it. But if you're a baby Christian, I'm trying to explain it to you. You say, well, I sure do like the morning services. I like the spirit and the atmosphere. I like that teaching. Do you know what we do at night? Same thing. And it's working so well Sunday morning, we said, let's do it Sunday night, and then we do it on Wednesday night. Same thing. You've got Brother Nofsinger in the back, acting the fool, every one of our three services. And if that's what you like, come back and look at him again tonight. Stay with me. And I'm really trying to help you. Some of you, you look back and If you think historically in church, say, why in the world do churches have church at night? Because it's in the Bible. It's what they did in the Bible. In the old time religion, that's not uncommon. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and I remember when you had to travel a long distance and you had night church, sometimes if it were a long, long way, they didn't even go home in the afternoon. They'd have picnic on the grounds and eat, but they wanted to be there. Listen, let me tell you something else. They missed Jesus. They missed the power of the Holy Spirit. They missed seeing the things that others got to see, the nail prints in his hands, the nail prints in his feet, his resurrected body. But not only that, they missed getting peace in their heart. I'll prove it to you. John 20:19, he said unto them, peace be unto you. You say, preacher, I'd really like to have more peace in my life. It's missing. Then I'd show up for the evening church service. That's what they missed. Can I explain it to you? Do you know that there are people that have doubts about their Christianity? There were people then. Probably Thomas doubted the resurrection or he would have showed up that night. Now, if I'd found out that Jesus had resurrected in the morning, I dead sure would have been at my post that night at church. We already know that he had doubts. And listen, when there is an absence of peace in your life, you don't get more of it by staying away from church. You get more of it by getting closer to church. Peace does not come by absence from where the work of God's being done. Peace comes by your presence where the work of God's being done. If you have a lack of peace in your life, and there are people that will say this to me, and you have to understand, as a pastor, I sometimes think, oh boy, they're just not thinking right. They come to me and I'll preach one of those sermons where I'm comforting you. I'm telling you can make it and you can take it and God loves you. And you say, oh, I need that so much. Did you know we preach those kind of sermons Sunday nights and Wednesday nights? Oh, I just needed that. Well, come back and get some more of it. He offered them peace. And what had happened, he had been crucified. There was all sorts of persecution. They were going through a terrible, terrible time in the church at that time. I mean, right? Jesus has been crucified. The Christians are being attacked. He showed up to help them to have peace during a difficult time. Do you think Thomas had more peace or less peace than the ones that came to church? He had less. He had less. Who had the most? When everybody came to church that night, even if they came with some doubt in their heart, they came to church and said, this is terrible. Jesus has been crucified. It's the first time we've had church since he was crucified. It's terrible. It's Jesus! Everything's fine. I knew it was going to be. I'll guarantee you some dads that were stepping up and trying to calm the family and, you know, putting on the macho, it's all going to be fine, it's all going to be fine. And on the inside, he's going, I don't know how we're going to do this. But on the outside, everything's going to be fine. When Jesus showed up, he said, I told you. Peace. Peace. He offered them peace that night. He offered them peace over the current situation, but I believe this, the more you're in the house of God where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, the more peace is available in your need in your life. Psalm 17:3 says, Thou hast proved mine heart, thou hast visited me in the night. In the night. If you have a life full of turmoil, you need those other two-thirds of the church services that we have. The Wednesday night, the Sunday night services. Why? It'll add peace to your life. And if nothing else, coming will add peace to your life because I'll keep preaching sermons about night church that will bring turmoil to you. Okay. It's good that you laugh. It relaxes you. There's more points in the sermon. Thomas missed the presence of Jesus because he wasn't in Sunday night church. Thomas missed the fullness of the Holy Spirit because he was not in Sunday night church. Thomas missed seeing what others got to see, the nail prints, all of that, the resurrected body. He missed that. Thomas missed having peace in his heart because Jesus came and at night provided a peace that those people needed in the night service. Number five, Thomas missed some important instructions concerning the will of God for his life. He missed it. In John chapter 20, verse number 21, Jesus comes to them and he says to everybody that's at that evening service, he said, so send I you. You know what? He was telling them, I have something I need you to do. You've all heard of the Great Commission. How would have you liked to have been there the day it was given? Jesus comes in, he says, okay, everybody that's at church tonight, I have something that's been planned for all eternity. I died, was buried, and resurrected to help you carry this out. You all are here. You're at the ground level. He said, so send I you. He gave him instruction that night. I don't try to preach to offend anybody. I'm not trying to offend you. I hope you know my heart. But I need you to know that when you come to this church, you're a member of this church, you're claiming this is your church, that God looks down and he says, okay, that preacher gave this sermon, and this sermon this week. Those three sermons are what we'll expect out of the people that go to that church. That's what I expect out of them. You say, well, I didn't show up for that one. Yeah, well, he's going to expect something out of you. Unless you were providentially hindered, And that's not 2020 on TV. Unless you're providentially hindered, he's going to say, you ought to be doing what was taught. You say, well, I didn't show up. He said, well, next time maybe you ought to. Y'all go to school somewhere? I went to a school. I remember at one time, teacher gave a test. I'd skipped the day before, went fishing. Teacher gave a test. I went up and said, I wasn't here yesterday. She said, where were you? I said, I was real bad sick. I said, I'm not ready for this test. She said, I guess you'll fail that part of it, won't you? You might not have had that conversation with your teacher, but that's how it worked, isn't it? You didn't show up where you were supposed to show up and they gave the test. You had to take the part of the test that you didn't show up to learn. You know why some of you are failing some tests? You haven't been showing up to get the material that would have helped you to pass it. And so, you know, you say, well, night church, that's a northern thing. No, it's a scriptural thing. Amen. Yes, it is a northern thing, far north. And you done stuck with a fellow that believes the Bible. Thomas missed important instruction. Do you know that I taught for almost 21 weeks in a row on Wednesday night about how to keep your body healthy? There are people that didn't come to get it that desperately needed to hear it. And they won't be healthy because of it. We've been teaching on growth in our Wednesday night services. There are people in this room. Matter of fact, this sermon, if right now, if you're irritated with me right now, that's called conviction. And you don't know it, but you're not supposed to be mad at me. You're supposed to be mad at you. But it's okay. You can go ahead and be mad at me. I've got broad shoulders and a couple deacons that can handle you. If not, I got at least one woman that can. But if you say, "Wow, this makes me mad," it shouldn't make you mad. Your heart ought to be tender, and you ought to be saying, "I'm glad I'm learning this, and I need to face this, and this. I need to grow. I need to grow." Wednesday night, we have now. I think this week will be the 15th or the 16th lesson on growth. We've talked about growing in our Christian life. We all need that. We learn the answers to life's questions. Many of us need to start to grow again. You will not grow beyond the amount of time that's being invested in you being taught the Scripture. Thomas missed the presence of Jesus. Thomas missed the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Thomas missed seeing what others got to see. Thomas missed having peace in his heart. Thomas missed instruction for God's will for his life. He said, "Even so send I you." Jesus was telling them, "Now go out there and tell the world about Jesus Christ, my death, burial, and resurrection." They could have been there. Thomas could have heard the giving of the Great Commission, and he missed it because he skipped church. And if you know the rest of the story, there wasn't anything wrong with Thomas. He just didn't show. Thomas missed the opportunity to help others. He said, Jesus said in John 20:21, he says, "As my Father has sent me, so send I you," or "I'm even sending you." Do you know, take John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Do you know that at church, people are being helped? There were people that were being helped at this night service that Thomas missed. I mean, there was peace coming to their life. The will of God was being explained. The Spirit of God was comforting them. Thomas could have got in on and been a part of the solution, a part of helping those people. But he didn't show. You say, "Well, I really don't feel like I need it." You might need it so that you could help somebody else to get it. Maybe it's not just all about you. Maybe you just happen to believe you know enough Bible that you don't need anymore. There's a slight chance that that could be challenged. But if you don't think you need it, is there somebody else that just needs to see you? I teach an awful lot in our evening services about serving and helping other people. It's an important part of the Christian life. You know what I did? I went to, we have a sermon log back here. And, I've had more than one time, I had someone ask me on three different occasions if I'd be willing to go on television and take my ministries and teach and preach on television. I didn't, and I haven't, and I have no intention to. You say, why? People stay home. I've never thought that was scriptural. I don't think people ought to stay home and watch it on TV and say, well, I was in church. I don't believe that. I don't think that the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my midst, and it wasn't talking about around the television. So I don't do that. Matter of fact, I even hesitate a little putting my sermons on the internet because people can listen to them and then they think they've been to church because they listen to me on CD. Now, I think if you can't be there, you ought to listen to it on CD. But just so you know, listening to a sermon on CD does not mean you've been to church. A couple more of you are going to have to... I tell you this, first of all, you have to breathe every once in a while because you'll pass out if you don't. And listen, I tell you what I did, and I'm almost finished, and I know you're glad. But back there in the sermon log notebook, I grabbed it, and I looked at a bunch of the sermons that have been preached on a Sunday night. Well, for instance, when I first got here, I used the night services and I taught a series on a Wednesday night about transition, how we make it through the transitions of life, how our church could adjust with me being a new pastor. It helped us. We're still using some of the things I taught to this day. But hey, be careful. If you're not careful and you don't show up for an evening service and we were teaching something that was crucial to the life of our church, you don't show up, you might find yourself being a problem instead of part of the solution because you were taught on how to handle things and you didn't show up to learn how to help us with it. Listen to some of these sermons. Here's a sermon that I preached called, Is Christ Divided? And it was a whole sermon about unity in the church. Can I tell you how often the people that cause disunity in a church are the people that didn't show up to hear the sermons on unity? Right. And me, I'm going, oh, I wish you were here. Here's one about winning souls to Christ. It's called Are You Soul Winning or Soul Losing? I wish you could have heard that sermon. It is a whole sermon about we're either getting people to Christ or we're not. There's no halfway in between. You say, well, I'm neutral on that subject. No, then you're not, you're either in or out, buddy. You're either bringing them toward Christ or you're not. Okay, here's another one. Let's see. Here's a sermon about the blood of Jesus Christ called Speaking Blood, about how the blood of Christ speaks for us. Here's one called The Wrong Responses to the Reproofs of Life. In other words, when life disciplines us, how should we act? Here's one called To Die is Gain. That night I spoke on when we die, all that we gain, and we comforted ourselves. There's some of you have parents and loved ones that have passed on. We have church members that have passed on. That night we took the whole night to help our hearts be strong as we go through the grieving process. Here's one about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Here's one that I preached on a Sunday night called To Whom Much Is Given. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. Here's one on marriage. Here's one called Double Trouble. Here's one called The Habitual Delay of Responsibility. It was a whole sermon about procrastination and all the things we're going to get to someday that we've never gotten to. Here's another one. It's called... Hard Knot. There are people in here, you have hard hearts. That night we helped people with their hard heart and how to keep your heart from becoming hard. Here's one that's called The Results of the Fear of Men. We fear man. What does that cause? How does that limit us in our life? Oh, there's sermon after sermon after sermon. I'm thinking about how that last Sunday night I preached a sermon called Biblical Business Advice. I would expect most people have never in their entire lives, I'm talking about people who've been in church all their life, have never heard someone in a 45-minute setting help the church to know how to handle one another in their business affairs as we buy, sell, trade. I have people all the time say, oh, well, we're going to come down there and visit that church. And I'd say, well, what makes you come this way? Say, well, we've listened to the sermons. We want to be there. We want to hear it. Listen, folks, at night church, there are things that we miss. Do you know what I think? And I'm finished, but let me tell you this one last thing. I've got a feeling Thomas was a doubter because he missed. You know he got labeled. If I said to you, Thomas the what? You'd all say doubter. He wasn't called that until he missed night church. Right? Isn't that where he blew it? Had he been there that night, he might have never doubted. He would have had no reason to doubt. He would have been there. He saw it. He was a part of the spiritual movement. But he doubted. And ever since then, he has carried the reputation of being a doubter. John 20:25, it says, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails. Wait a minute. They did get to see those. Where was he? And put my finger into the print of the nails. Wait a minute. He had that chance. And thrust my hand into his side. They got to see that too. Well, I will not believe. Can I tell you how many people say, well, I don't believe this and I don't believe that. You would have believed it had you shown up for church when we taught it. The hardest people in the world to get on board at the church are the ones that are only at half of, one third of. Watch out for the ones that are unfaithful, because they're the ones that when you've taught something later on, they say, well, I don't think I believe that way. Well, it's because you don't know what you believe, because you weren't there the night that we taught you what the Bible says about it. The people that doubt the Bible the most are the ones that are there to hear it preached the least. The people that doubt God the most are the ones that are there when he meets with his people the least. The ones least committed to the church are the ones that are at the church the least. And I'm not preaching this sermon for this purpose, but I will tell you this. The ones who doubt their pastor the most are the ones that are there to hear him preach the least. It's always the way it is. Thomas was a doubter. And to some degree, Thomas was a doubter because he didn't show up when he was supposed to show up to be a part of the movement of God at the New Testament church in Jerusalem. We see people saved at night. We see the altars full at night. There are all sorts of things that Thomas missed by missing night church. And I just want you to know, to the young Christians, especially to the one that very sincerely said to me, preacher, why do you have church at night? I said, well, I'll teach that. It's scriptural. It's what they did in the Bible. Oh, there's so much for us. Now, there are all sorts of things in the Christian life that you and I are supposed to do. I don't need anyone here to judge somebody else. You don't have to worry. I don't have us all categorized into, you know, this is the night people, these are the day people. I don't do it that way. I don't think that way. I had an evangelist friend. Everywhere he went, he'd say, my name is Jimmy. I'll take what you give me. My name is Jimmy. I'll take what you give me. And so you all know, I'll take what you give. If I can get you one time a month, I'll take it. If that's all I can get, I'll take it. I want to be your pastor. And I mean that. I want to be your pastor. You say, are you saying if I'm not faithful all the time, you don't want me here? Oh, no. No, I don't feel that way at all. If you come one time a month, I'll take it. If you'll come one time a week, I'll take it. If you'll come Sunday morning to Sunday school, I'll take it. In church, I'll take it. If you're back at night, I'll take it. I'm just merely telling you, I think how God thinks. And just so you all know, God expects a whole lot more out of me, and I'm not faithful enough to all of it. I think God could look down to Jeff Owens and say, you've taught a very convicting sermon to some this morning, and God has a little sermon he can preach to me to remind me to put me in my place. I am not the epitome of example of anything. But I have to tell you the truth. I believe what I've taught you today. You might think it's a little opinion, but I doubt there's as much opinion in this as what you might think. I think God wants us to be faithful to church, and that's all I've really taught today. Faithfulness to church. It'll make all the difference in your Christian life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I think when you're not well, God understands it. I think that when there are other things that have hindered you, you better take a good long look at them and make sure that you're not making a way for yourself to be unfaithful. I had no idea who would be here this morning. None. I just taught what I think God would have me to teach from the Scripture. Maybe God's spoken to someone's heart. You say, I'd like to be at church a little more, but I wouldn't have a way on a Sunday night. You just let the people know that help you get here on Sunday morning. We'll work with you on that. We'll try to help you. And I don't know everybody's situation. I know there are people here that attend to loved ones that are not well. I understand that. I understand that. Just don't look for a way out of being faithful. Look for ways to be faithful. And God knows the rest. Who here this morning would say, "Preacher, God has spoken to my heart. Something in this sermon helped me. I can see something that maybe I've not seen before. It's going to help me. I see lots of hands." Would you raise your hand and say, "That's good for me. That'll help me." You may put your hands down. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Maybe you just had a need for the altar. And if you do, I want you to use it. In a second, the pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet. And if the pianist will begin to play, stand if you will. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Young, old, alike. If you need a moment at the altar, you're welcome to come. Oh, let's be faithful to God. Let's be faithful to church. To the one that asked the question, why do we have night church? I've tried to explain it to the young Christian today. Oh, there's so very much that Thomas missed. He ended up doubting. And let me tell you something. I believe Thomas regretted it. And I tell you this also, I believe Thomas is a better man than we probably give him credit for. I doubt that he missed again, to be honest. I doubt that he didn't show up the next time. He realized everything that he missed. And he said, "Well, I wouldn't be a doubter if I seen the nail print in his hands and feet and got to stick my finger in his side." And the preacher probably said, "Happened last night. You wouldn't be doubting had you been here to be a part of it." And I'm sure he said it in love. You wouldn't realize how hard it is to preach the truth and not be afraid to bring the conviction that God wants to bring and not offend people. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm trying to gently, by the way, I've been very gentle. There are far harsher ways to say what I've said today. But I can't take all the sting out of it because there's an obedience issue that brings some of the relief that you look for. This is the last time through the song. Look back at me for a second. I'll make a couple statements. We'll pray and go.